Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, and then we're going to have some worship time, and we still have lots of good things in store. Amen. Don't get nervous. Tomorrow will be our awards service, our final service of the week, all the team competitions, all of the things that have happened this week. We will finish that up tomorrow, and it will be goodbye time, and it's crying time again, right? When it's time to go home. So, Pastor, preach your heart tonight. Share the word.
Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a good hand clap tonight and just thank him? Come on now. I'm talking about Jesus. Come on, the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Don't patty cake him. Come on, really put your hands together. One more time. Let's thank Jesus. Amen. I tell you, it's just such an awesome, awesome privilege to stand before you tonight, an awesome privilege to be able to minister to you the Word of the living God, to be able to communicate to you the life of Holy Spirit, just to be able to move in the flow of the Spirit is something that we should never take for granted. Amen? Amen. And I just want to tell you, first of all, that I want to give honor to the leadership of this house. We just came out of camp season. And so ours was a couple of weeks ago, and so I understand the labor of love that goes into that. I understand the sleepless nights. I understand the constant going and preparing and making sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. I understand that. So I commend you all. I commend this amazing, phenomenal ministry, just the power of legacy that rest in this house. Amen. As I was praying yesterday, the Lord just kept reminding me of that phrase, power of legacy. You know, it matters what you leave behind you. Amen. It matters the example that you set. It matters the life of integrity that you live. It matters, come on somebody, it matters that you're honest. It matters that you are a person of excellence and integrity. I believe that those things are still, they're uncommon, but I still think they're very popular in the kingdom of God. And so I just want to give honor to this house, and I thank God for God opportunities, whether it be behind a pulpit, whether it be across the counter at the grocery store, whether it be at the drive-thru window at Taco Bell. Anybody like Taco Bell? God can speak to you at any time, at any place, if you're just willing to hear and allow him to speak to you and through you to allow him to minister to somebody else. It might just be a smile. It might just be a God bless you. It might just be you sharing your story and your heart and your testimony. But there are people all around you. Let me tell you, what you've got inside of you tonight as you were worshiping and singing that song about coming alive in the river, let me tell you, there were some rivers that were flowing in this place. There is still streams that flow. Amen. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of our God. And those rivers of living water begin to flow in you and through you. And it brings life to everyone around you. Can you say amen to that? And so I'm just thankful for the privilege, the astute privilege to be here with you tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. And let's just get in the Word. Can we do that? Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I just want to read the scripture. Somebody tell me what the theme is for youth camp this year. Can somebody tell me? Royalty. And we're going to read that scripture tonight if we can. I know you probably have heard it a lot, but we're going to read it if we can. Let's just look at it. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race." Somebody say, "I am." "A royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are," say "I am," "God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy." Can I tell you that we have a royal calling to display the excellency and the virtue of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can somebody say amen? That you are royal because of the royal one that lives on the inside of you. It's not based on necessarily anything that we do or we don't do. That's really good news. It's not based on how hard we struggle or what our efforts are to produce royalty, but we are royal by virtue of the fact of the royal one that lives on the inside of us. And because of that, we are called to a place of dominion and authority. Do you realize that when you speak, things happen because you are not just speaking dead words, but there is royal words that come from your lips. When a king makes a decree, the thing is established. Am I too loud? Okay. All right. I want to make sure if I need to pull it back, tone it down a little bit. But I believe that what you say from a place of being in the throne that you've been seated in, not because of how good you are, how bad you are, whatever. We're not concerned about our goodness or our abilities, but we are concerned with the ability and the power of Christ that lives within us to produce that royal atmosphere around us. Are you with me so far? And we are royalty. It's not something that we're going to be. It's something that we are. We're not trying to be, but we are right now. Can you just prophesy some things over your life with me tonight? Say this with me. Say, I am royalty. I am a king. I am a chosen generation. I am a holy nation. And I believe that God is raising up a generation that will not compromise the gospel. I believe that we will not succumb to religious spirits. We won't water down the finished work of the gospel. We will not water down the Lamb, but we will stand in the might and the power of the gospel and proclaim that Jesus really is who Jesus says He is. Come on, we're not going to hold back. We're going to do exactly what Jesus called us to do. And listen, I grew up hearing this all of my life, and it kind of irks my gizzard. I know that's a southern term, but let's just roll with it for just a minute. It irks my gizzard when people would say, oh, now this is the church of tomorrow. Come on. Anybody ever heard? You're not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. Is anybody glad that they serve a now God? That He is right now, that He's not going to be. He is the great I am, not the great I was. He is El Shaddai. He's not El Cheapo. Whatever you need, He's got it. He's got it. You have a royal daddy tonight that owns everything. And it belongs to the king's kids. Does anybody know you're a king's kid in here tonight? Hallelujah. You are royalty. You are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus is King of and Lord of. There's some kings that He's king over. There's some lords that He's Lord over. The scripture says that the kingdoms of this world are now the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever. I got some armor right back there. Does anybody mind to bring that up here to me real quick if you don't mind? I'm going to try to move as long as quickly as I can. But I want us to take some time tonight to remind ourselves of our royal destiny. I want us to remind ourselves of how good that He is. Can I share my testimony with you? Is that all right? I believe that transparency and honesty is the best policy. Amen? I haven't shared this too many times, Sister Trish, over the last few years, but the Lord has been, even sitting right back there, I said, God, are you sure you want me to share this? And over the last few years, I haven't shared it very much. But the Lord has been prompting my heart again to share this because I believe that different folks can identify with some of these things, maybe, and maybe you can, maybe you can't. But if it's just one person, you can just set it right over here if you'd like. If there's just one person, you like my makeshift stand? Actually, my wife and I put this together the night before I got here. And we bought one off Amazon. It came in, it was in a box. It looked a lot prettier than that one. But when we got the one for Amazon and opened up the box, it was black and moldy, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is just what I need right before I get ready to leave. But so we put our heads together and we figured out something. But anyway, I'm going to use this as an illustration in just a minute. But from a very young age, I was plagued with feelings of inferiority and guilt, shame, condemnation, rejection, fear, anxiety, worry, depression. As a matter of fact, at 17, I was diagnosed as being clinically depressed. If anybody knows what that term means, you know how the severity of that can truly be. And so as I was diagnosed as being depressed, it really kept me from doing things that ordinary, everyday people could do. I mean, things like eating, and when I had a job, when I turned 16, I got a job working at Kmart. Somebody say, God bless Kmart. They're no longer around anymore, but that's beside the point. But as a matter of fact, I met my wife at Kmart. There's a song that says, you found love at a Kmart store. They wrote that about me. And it kept me from doing ordinary, everyday tasks, even sleeping. I found myself not able to sleep. I didn't want to, you know, take care of myself. It was just the overwhelming feeling of just a dark cloud that had surrounded me, to the point that I was so pressed down that I was frustrated. I had turmoil in my mind. Everything that was going on around me, everybody else could be joyful, but it just felt like that I couldn't be joyful. Everybody else was experiencing the grace and the goodness of God, but all of us, I was in a place where almost that I couldn't even lift my hands. That I was so pressed down with this feeling of what was going on between my ears. Can I tell you tonight, church, that the devil's not your problem? The devil gets way too much credit for junk that he has no business with. The real battle that's taking place is the one that's between our ears. It's the mind that's the battlefield. It's where the real war takes place. It's what's happening right between our ears. Can I tell you that what you believe matters? What you think about God matters. What you think about yourself matters. How you see yourself really matters. That's where the real battleground takes place. But here's the good news today. The greatest battle that has ever fought has been won over 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. And we're not fighting in a losing battle. As a matter of fact, we're not trying to get the victory. We reign and rule from a place of victory right here and right now. The problem is that we got to wake up to it. Be awakened to the truth of what He is and what He wants to do in our lives. Can I talk about this armor for just a minute? Can I get that robe too, if I can, for just a minute? Oh, I got it right here. We don't fight for victory. We rule and reign from a place of victory. Can I hear an amen? That so long when I was going through this struggle of going through this constant state of depression and trying to find an answer of why that I could not seem to get the freedom that I wanted, well-meaning people began to tell me all the things that I wasn't doing. They began to say, well, Seth, you got to pray more. Seth, you just got to believe harder. You got to fast longer. You got to do. When it's not about what I got to do, but it's about what's already been done. It's about what Jesus has done. And what they began to tell me was, well, Seth, you must not be wearing the armor of God. And I went through this state of, I think I forgot my helmet today. I forgot the belt of truth. I forgot to put on my shoes of peace. It all became a works thing about this armor, me trying to make the armor fit me, when in all actuality, the armor is not something that is physical or natural, but Paul was using an analogy that let us know that this is the same thing as him saying, you've been clothed with Christ. You rule and reign from a place of authority. You are clothed with the Anointed One. You have put on the new identity and the new nature. You are anointed with an anointing that cannot be taken away from you. Do you believe that you're not going to be anointed, but you're anointed right now? You have been smeared on with the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it's something that can never be taken away. What we got to do is just flow with what's already living inside of us. Amen. And this armor that I began to try to became a let me say it this way, it became a religious exercise of trying to put this armor on. But I woke up one day and I realized that I was already clothed with Christ. And the feelings of inferiority and shame that I was feeling, it was because I didn't realize that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for me. That I might be made. Somebody say made. Made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not gonna be righteous. You've been made righteous. If it's who you are, if it's what you've been made, that's who you are. You're righteous, right standing. Listen, I felt a long time feeling wrong about myself. But the good news is you can feel right because of the righteousness that God has given. Somebody tell me, What do you think righteousness means? What does it mean to you? No right or wrong answer. Right standing. To be put in right standing. That you no longer have to go through feeling wrong, but you've been put in right standing. So many times it's been, I think, in the church world about what's been wrong more than what's right. It's not about what's wrong, but it's about what is right about you. As long as we have the image of this armor in our head, the image of an armed soldier, we'll never begin to realize that he's not just talking about a helmet of salvation, but he's talking about a crown of life that belongs to you. That it's not just about a breastplate of righteousness, but it then becomes about a beautiful robe of righteousness. That you're not warring to get something, but you're already clothed and wrapped and enfolded in everything that He is. That's good news today. That as long as you're living from the stance of constantly being on a battlefield, you'll never get the rest in your redemption of ruling and reigning from a throne with Him. Can I get one volunteer? Can I get somebody who's willing to put this robe on? Come on, somebody, just come on up. Here, Sister Trish, hold this. Put this on you. Stand right out here. How many of you know that I was thinking about infantry last night, and infantry is soldiers that are on foot, and they specialize in hand-to-hand combat. But here's the truth. You, as a royal child of God, were never created or destined for hand-to-hand combat. You were created and destined for face-to-face encounters to be in union with the lover of your soul. That it's not about fighting a battle, but it's about living in a place where you are robed with Christ Himself. That you were created to reflect the image of your King. Yeshua, we sing about the name, but we don't realize that we carry the fragrance of Yeshua everywhere we go. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the one that has clothed you with His very own righteousness. And you're not warring on a battlefield. You're robed with royalty. Let's start living like it. Can we do that? Can we decide once and for all that we're going to live like the royal children of God that we are, that we're going to begin to change things even in our school systems? We're turning the tide. I've heard Pastor Lisa say on a number of occasions where people like to talk about there not being prayer in school. Can I tell you that there are born-again, Spirit-filled people that are within the school systems right now that are turning the tide of things that are going on? There are born-again, Spirit-filled people washed in the blood of the Lamb that are in our governments right now that are turning the tide, that are bringing about the culture of heaven to this earth today. Can I tell you it's not about a place somewhere on beyond the blue, but it's about a culture of heaven that we rule and reign in right now. Right here, right now. Can I tell you that Jesus' prayer is still in style when He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That you and I were created as royalty to create a culture of heaven right here in this earth. Amen. Can y'all look at Him for just a couple more minutes? Is that all right? Because I want to read this to you. The helmet of salvation, we now have been given a crown. Not saying we need to do away with the helmet, but I want you to get a different image in your mind. It's not about something that you're warring for, but it's about the mind being encircled or wrapped with the truth of the reality of your salvation. The breastplate of righteousness, we've been now wrapped with a robe. It's not about something that we're trying to be made right. We are right, and because of that, we live in a place of being right. Romans 5, 16 through 19 says this in the Passion Translation. And this free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. For because of one transgression, we are all facing a death sentence with a verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into, listen to this, the perfect rightness of God. Somebody say that, the perfect righteousness of God. Acquitted with the words, not guilty. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, somebody say, now. Now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus the Messiah. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so the one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right, somebody say, I've been made right, with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to Him. You've been made right tonight. Can I tell you, when I've received the good news that I was not struggling to be made right, Is this okay? Am I all right? Is this all right? Can I take a little bit longer? Just give me 5 more minutes. When I finally realized that I was not in a place of trying to get something, but I was, the struggle that I was feeling was that I could never measure up to what he expected of me. And because of that, I lived in a constant state of mental turmoil that said that no matter what I did, it was never good enough. I believe, I know that I'm not trying to throw a damp blanket on you tonight, but I believe that there might just be even one person in this room that you have lived with some of those feelings that I talked about a few minutes ago, and God wants to bring you into a place where he can set you free from that. As a matter of fact, you're already free. I'm just letting you know the good truth about it tonight. You're already free. Let's wake up to it. I'm going to read you one more scripture and then we're going to close. Is that all right? And I believe that God wants to, I believe there's a physical healing that needs to take place in this house tonight. There are situations and things maybe that you've dealt with that have been longstanding that I believe the Lord wants to bring about a work of healing in your life tonight. Can I tell you that healing is not always something that's physical, but it's also sometimes we need healing for our minds. We need healing for our emotions. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes we've been wounded by situations in life that was no fault of our own, but we have taken a wounding that was not the result of something that we had done, but it was just that life had happened to us, and we can come to a place where there's an anointing that will set us free from those things if we'll just allow God to show us the truth of what is already a reality. Amen? I'm going to let you sit down in just a minute. I want him to look at you for just another minute, okay? Is that all right? He looks handsome in his robe and crown, don't he? Give him a good God bless you tonight. Listen to this in Isaiah 61. The mighty spirit of Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me as a messenger to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell the captives, you're free. To tell prisoners, be free from your darkness. I'm sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies. Can I tell you that the death and resurrection of Jesus put an end to every enemy that would ever try to come against you? Come on. The enemy's defeated. We don't even, let me tell you something. In our fellowship in Charleston, we don't even give him a name. We just, the enemy. Sometimes, amen. Sometimes there's just some things that can become an enemy to you. It's not even has anything necessarily to do with spiritual things, but sometimes we just make enemies out of things that have no business being an enemy to us. Yeah. Amen. To comfort all who are in sorrow, to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful crown in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. They will restore ruins from long ago and rebuild what was long devastated. They will renew ruined cities and desolations of past generations. Foreigners will be appointed to shepherd your many flocks. Strangers will cultivate your fields and tend your vines. But you will be known as priests of Yahweh and called servants of our God. You will feast on the wealth of nations and revel in the riches. Because you received a double dose of shame and dishonor, you will inherit a double portion, come on somebody, of endless joy and everlasting bliss For I, Yahweh, love fairness and justice. I hate stealing and sin. I will rightly repay them because of my faithfulness and enter into an everlasting covenant with them. This is where I want to go with this. Verse 10. We have it up here. Verse 10. Thank you, Lord. It says, I will sing and greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My whole being vibrates with shouts of joy in my God, for He has dressed me with salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of His righteousness. I appear like a bridegroom on his wedding day, decked out with a beautiful sash, or like a radiant bride adorned with sparkling jewels. In the same way the earth produces its crops and its seeds spring up in a garden, so will the Lord Yahweh cause righteousness and praise to blossom before all nations. Will you stand up on your feet with me tonight, if you don't mind, for just a moment? Can I tell you that this is who you are? This is who you are. This is what's been given to you. I want to encourage you tonight that no matter what it might be that you've struggled with, no matter what you might feel like that nobody else has understood the pain that you've been walking through, can I tell you there's freedom tonight? Hallelujah. There's freedom tonight. Freedom reigns in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The musicians want to come. I believe that there's something great that's yet to happen for you tonight. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray in the Holy Ghost with me. I felt this so strong in my spirit for you tonight. And I believe that there's a life that issues out of you, a royal life that issues out of you, that's much greater than the pain maybe that you've been facing. That you've got a crown on your head. You've got a robe that's wrapped around you. And it's not just something you can take on and take off, but it's something that is at the very core of who you are. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, there's always going to be an opportunity of things to, a resurgence of things to try to come back to get you to a place maybe that you, let me use this word, kind of lapse back into. But it's not something you got to do. Because who you are and who's in you is much greater than what could ever come against you. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. Can we just lift our hands in this house tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, You are worthy. You are so worthy. Come on, just allow Him to minister to you right where you are. Just allow that river of life to begin to flow. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. Come on, every hand lifted. Just focus on the King tonight. Oh. I want to speak to the greatness that's already inside of you tonight. And I want to begin by the Spirit of God to call forth those gifts and those callings that are within you. There is a gift that's in the earthen vessel tonight, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Oh, sing out of your belly tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, we worship you, Lord.